the most recent time was probably when, I know this was a really hard time for our family, when dad just got diagnosed with cancer. You know, I was going through a, we were all going through a lot, honestly, when we all got that news. And I remember it was like, I was in my last semester of nursing school too. I already had all this stress in my life, and then I feel like this was added on. So, church kind of just became like, I'm going because I'm going.
The Christian is to witness for Christ. Now, how do you witness? You witness by the way you live.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe.
La caída que tuviste hoy será la experiencia que te ayudará a levantar a los líderes caídos.
This is your testimony.
What is up, guys? Welcome to Testifying. Testifying is a podcast where we want people to know God through testimonies. And guess what? Today is the very first episode. Dun, 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 dun. Today we're going to have Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi. Go introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. So my name is Heidi or Heidi, depending. How you know me from growing up, I guess. I am actually Daniel's older sister, one of his older sisters. And I am so happy and excited to be here and sharing my testimony and the things God has done in my life.
I decided to go with Heidi because, well, you know, I knew she was going to say yes. And I knew she was going to do it even though she was a little nervous. How are you feeling today?
I am a little nervous for sure, but I'm excited.
Well, you know, let's start right off the bat, I guess. So, how long have you been serving God faithfully? How long have you been a believer?
Well, if I remember, I was probably around 9 or 10 when I actually first gave my life to Christ, and it was different. Like I knew of God because I was like 3 or 4 when we first started coming to the church that I go to. But you'll see that growing up in church and learning about him, eventually you need to make that own choice yourself to accept Christ. And I was probably 9 or 10 when I understood what salvation was and that I also needed to give my life to Christ. So I am 29 now, so it's been probably around 20 years or so that I would count.
Well, obviously, you know, I know you because you're my sister, but you know, I grew up in the church. You know, when I was born, our parents were Christian. But how old were you when mom and dad started going to church?
So I was about 3, I think, or 4 years old. Our parents tell me that I did not like going to church because I didn't grow up going to church. They would bribe me to go to church with treats and stuff until one day my dad was like, is this enough? You're going to pay attention. You don't need treats anymore. Knowing me now, you probably wouldn't think that I was such a brat about going to church because that's basically what my whole life is now. But definitely starting off, and I don't remember any of this, to be honest. But I did not like going, is what my parents tell me.
What is the earliest memory you remember of the church?
My earliest memory from the church would always probably be singing the songs. Singing is something that I've done, and I don't remember doing any of that before we got to church. But that's something my dad and I have in common, our dad. And it's something that I remember being young. And I remember, I think one of my first songs I actually sang with one of my aunts. Do you remember Tia Carmelina?
Oh, yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, so I think one of the first songs that I sang in church was with her. And that's what's always been about me. Like the other day I was reminiscing and thinking about how we would sing La Escuela Dominical song. Do you remember that song? You know, and I was just thinking about...
Hey, how does that song go?
Escuela Dominica Lire. Yeah, and it's such like, I remember all those things. Like church was so fun for me as a child, and I really enjoyed it. I remember like, I don't know, I just, growing up in church was not bad for me. I really enjoyed going to church as a child.
I still laugh at this one video our parents have when you were at a birthday party and you told this girl right next to you. Do you remember?
I don't remember. What are you talking about?
The one video that dad said that they recorded you singing and you were like...
The one with the Mala?
Yeah, in Guatemala. You were in Guatemala at that time.
So that song, I guess everybody as a child knew that I liked to sing. So they're always asking me like, come in. Do you know this song or do you want to sing this song? So I was eating uno de esos panes, you know, with chow mein on them. And then so is this little girl who is my friend from Guatemala. And then I told her, okay, deténme, Calela. And that's why dad is always singing, talking about that. And that's when I burst out in song. But apparently I couldn't sing without somebody holding my sandwich next to me.
Yeah, I always laugh at that. It's kind of funny. So, you know, you said that you accepted God at a very young age. But do you remember much on how you were before that? Do you kind of remember? I know you were pretty young.
I think,
but
just for me,
do you have any memories?
Yeah, I think just for me, it's different because, I mean, I did grow up in church, but I don't really remember a lot from before we started going to church. I mean, parents just tell me stories about everything, but all my memories are basically in church, is what I can say.
What's one of your favorite memories?
From my favorite memories? Oh, now I gotta think. I don't know. I feel like there's been so much that has been done. I was a very talkative child. So if you see me now, I'm kind of quiet now. And I kind of...
You're very quiet.
I don't know. I don't want to say antisocial, but I kind of am. And I mean, it's kind of hard. But as a child, I talked to everybody and anybody. Like, I had no, what do you call it, like filter or anything. Like, I would say anything and everything. And actually, pastor was just reminding me yesterday how as a kid I would bring up a gift and I would tell him, oh, aquí le tenemos un regalo, pastor, y es una camisa. Like, honestly, like, and I just remember like church and everybody at church, they've just been like my second family, honestly. Like, there's so many people there that I love and that I care for so much, and people that maybe I don't see as often anymore, but I still care about them. And everybody like that I grew up with, you know, we have all these stories together. There's so many things that we've experienced in church and out of church. And I thank God for these people that he placed in my life, because my life would definitely was made better because of them.
Can you describe the time you had like your very first encounter with God? Do you remember about how old you were?
So I know that I said that I accepted Christ probably when I was 9 or 10, but my first real encounter with God was probably when I was a little bit more older. And I can't remember if I was already like 13 or if I was more like 12. And I can't really remember what was happening around me, like who was at church. I just remember we were in adoracion and I was sitting next to my friends at that time, and I think one of them is, do you remember Vanessa, Saul's sister?
Oh yeah, I do remember her.
So we would all sit like in that second row.
Of course I remember her.
And I don't know what was all going on around me, and I suddenly like fell, like I was like in the adoracion, and I suddenly felt like the chills. I don't even know how to explain it, like it's crazy what you feel. And I remember that I was just crying and crying and crying. And honestly, I think when I finally, like, I was just praising God. And, like, time, like, when you're feeling like that, I feel like time doesn't have, like, there's no time. Like, you don't realize what's happening around you. And I was pretty young. And you know, most kids, or I guess a lot of us, like, even now, we all have that sense of like, oh, who's watching me, you know. But at that time I remember that I didn't care about anything of that. I was young, but I like that feeling was so strong that it didn't really matter who was around me. And I remember that I was crying and crying, and then when I finally, like, I don't know, I don't want to say came to, but when I finally like stepped out of that feeling, you know, like I think everybody was already sitting down, and it was kind of like I was like in shock, like what happened, you know. But that is probably one of my first real encounters that I ever felt with God.
Yeah, that was your probably first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And that first experience is always so unique, you know, because, you know, if you never felt it, you don't know what's going on. And his presence is so awesome. And like yesterday, we were in Kansas City and God's presence was really there. And God was moving in the place. And it just felt so powerful and so awesome being in his presence. Just, it's, you know,
right.
We were really grateful to be in his presence. Do you remember what your first months were after you became a believer, after you believed in God?
I think for me, like, I can't really say that a lot changed because I was already, you know, I was a kid, I was already going to church. But I remember this was probably the time that I became more, like, verbal about my faith. And what I mean about that is that I really was not ashamed about telling my friends. Like, I remember this is me as a, I don't even know how old I was, like a sixth grader or whatever. And I was inviting my friends. I mean, I was like the only, you know, we grew up here in Lee and I was like the only Hispanic. So it's sometimes it's really hard to describe your type of church to all these different people, especially to people who aren't Hispanic, because their church is a lot different, I feel, than ours, you know, and especially if it's not even like a lot of like here where we live, they're mainly like Catholic or Lutheran, you know, and it's a lot more different than what it is. So to me, like, you ask anybody here, they'll tell you, yes, I believe in God, you know, but they don't understand the whole concept about you have to give your life to Christ and we have to follow Jesus, you know, for salvation. And I remember like the first few months, like, oh yeah, I was telling all my friends more about him. I even invited one of my friends to like prayer and stuff. And it's crazy, you know, all these things that I think about it now. And I think as a child, I was probably more like in those few months, I was more open about speaking to everybody about it. It's just, sometimes I just wish that, you know, we wouldn't grow up from that phase where you're just talking about it all the time.
Would you consider that like your first love?
I would think so, yes.
And I mean, don't you think as believers, you know, as new believers, we always have this first love. And then once years or, you know, time goes on, there's many that start losing their first love, you know?
Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's really, I feel like it's really easy. Like none of us are holy than that. And I feel like all of us have experienced that at one time, you know, being so fervent and so like believing in Christ in the beginning. And then as years go by, you just get comfortable, you know, you get into your routine. Like, this is what I do these days. I go to church, you know, I'm like doing, I don't know how to say it. Like, I'm doing the bare minimum to make it to heaven, you know. Like, it just becomes like a task, like, you know, like,
yeah, how like a work. Daily day thing.
And it doesn't give you, I don't know, like, you have, like, I feel like even I tell myself, like, I have to be careful not to get too comfortable, because I have, like, if I'm honest, I have gotten comfortable sometimes in my faith, because it's easy, like I said, it's easy just to do regular things, and sometimes we need that push. And, you know, God has definitely, like, there's been occasions that he's pushed me to try to get out of my comfort zone. And it's definitely something that I still need to keep working on.
Do you remember a time that it was, like, really difficult for you, you know, trusting in God, you know, believing in him? Because I know sometimes, honestly, it's very hard. We are all humans, and, you know, the flesh always wants to do all these, you know, it wants to sin. But I never want to do anything for God, you know. And, you know, it's kind of hard, you know. Can you tell me a time you experienced that?
Yeah, I probably had a few times. And I mean, like, not believing that God isn't real. Like, I've never had any doubts that he's not real. Like, I know even in that. But sometimes I'd had trouble, like, trusting in him or, like, even wanting to continue my faith. And I would think the most recent time was probably when, I know this was a really hard time for our family, when Dad just got diagnosed with cancer. You know, I was going through we were all going through a lot, honestly, when we all got that news. And I remember it was like, I was in my last semester of nursing school too. I already had all this stress in my life, and then I feel like this was added on. So church kind of just became like, I'm going because I'm going, you know, like, I don't know, like, it was kind of like, I have to go to school, I have to do this, I have to go with dad to appointments. And then grandma also was sick, you know. I felt like it was just so much stress in my life that I was kind of just putting God, like, I don't know, at the back end of things. Like, you know, I don't have time for you right now. I have so many things going on and you're letting all this stuff happen. Like, I probably was angry with God for a little bit then, because you know my relationship with dad and you know how I feel. And sometimes there was a time that I remember you and I talking sometimes, and when we first got those news, it was so hard to talk about it. Do you remember that? Like, it was hard not to break out in tears, and it was very difficult time. And I felt like, you know, we're supposed to trust in God and like throw all of our burdens to him. But I felt like I couldn't do that myself. I felt like this was too much. And I was blaming God. Like, why are you letting all this happen to us? You know, when dad, you know, he's been your servant, you know, for so long. And, you know, like, and the thing, I guess, that I learned in that journey is, honestly, like, when people say that God doesn't give you more than you can handle, it's true. And I think what really helped me get through that too is just seeing how dad was through the whole thing. Because if it was hard for us, it was harder for him, you know. This is going through him, and there was so much going on. And I just, the thing about dad is, like, he never has lost his faith in God and his trust for God. And even it didn't matter what was going on. And I think that's also something that helped me push through also, you know. If dad can do all this and handle all this, then obviously so can we.
Yeah, and I remember, like, one time, it was a very difficult time, and I remember we talked about, I remember one time we were talking about dad, because you and I both had this same thought, and it's crazy how, you know, you're going through something, and, you know, like, during that time, I was really mad at God. But for example, remember when we were talking about how the Bible says, honor your father and mother and you will live a long life? You remember that?
Uh-huh.
And because we had the same thought, because we would be like, well, why, you know, like, you know, that was, you know, dad was still alive. But, you know, we had that thought of, you know, of him having cancer and, you know, mm-hmm. this time that he was gonna supposedly have. But I remember you told me once that, you know, the Bible says honor your father and mother so you may live long. And, you know, if you know our dad, he would help anyone. He would take his jacket off, and he's really mm-hmm. respectful man to our grandparents, even when the grandpa was alive. And why do you think that God, well, I don't know how to explain this. Let me think. Why do you think God let these stuff happen to people that are, you know, like dad, how he is? Why do you think?
I just think that, you know, being a Christian doesn't just make your life perfect and happy all at once. A lot of people like to describe, like, Christianity as that, you know, like, come to Christ and your problems will fade away. And we know that if we're being honest, that's not true. You know, we're going to have difficulties. The Bible talks to us about that all the time. But the thing is, like, we always have to make sure we're keeping our trust in God. And I think with this, it's because I'm going to ask you this, Daniel, like, don't you feel like this whole experience that we all went through basically brought everybody closer to God in the end? Like, if we wouldn't have that, like, I don't know, shake or that thing, I feel like we all would have just been, you know, we're fine, you know, God has blessed us. And honestly, through this entire experience, I feel like God has even shown us how much more he loves us and how much more he does take care of us. You know, parents talk about how, you know, dad hasn't been working, but, you know, our fridge is probably more full with food than we've ever had it ever, you know?
Yeah, just like how we were, I'm sorry. No, but, I know it's because it's so funny, because yesterday we were in Kansas City and our parents were like, yeah, this year's the year we've been traveling so much, you know, mm-hmm. and it's so crazy because we've been to a lot of places this year, you know, and I remember last year we were just stuck in a hospital the entire summer. If you had told me last year that I would be, you know, going to all these places this year, I wouldn't believe
you. And you know, the biggest blessing I feel too, that this whole situation, we got to meet our sister. You know how long we wanted to meet her?
Yeah, we wanted to meet her for a long time.
And there was, like, even the way that it happened, like, for us to find her, it's a miracle from God. Like, just when we went to Atlanta this earlier this year, you know, and I heard our tio talking about how it, like, for them to find her, like, people would talk about that it's just a coincidence, you know, how they ended up finding her. And it's not. And we know it's God. And it's crazy how that experience was. So we know, like, I feel like God had all this planned out for us for this reason. You know, this is definitely how it was supposed to happen.
Can you give a little background on our sister? You know, because obviously there's people here that don't know us. And, you know, even some of the people that know us really don't know about her that much.
So our sister, she is from Georgia. She was born over there. That's where originally our parents used to live before they moved to Nebraska. And I guess originally was Guatemala, you know, but here in the States, it was Georgia. But our sister, she's like 2 years older than me, I think, right? She just turned 31. So she's going to be 32 this year.
What? No, I thought she was 32 already.
No. Maybe she just turned... I think she's only like 2 years older than me.
What type of sister are you?
Well, you don't even remember. We need to ask her.
Like, I swear she said 32.
Maybe she's 32 this year, I thought. Because her birthday is coming up.
Yeah, I know her birthday is soon, but continue.
I don't really know too many details about what our dad's relationship was with her mom or what all happened there. All I know is that... before I was born, like, she was probably like 2 years old. That's when my parents decided to move to Nebraska. So ever since then, all I've heard, I mean, it's not like dad kept it a secret from us. We all knew we had a sister. We just didn't really know, like, anything about her, like, even for to try to reach her or anything. I know my dad would say, oh, her name is Christina, you know, but I don't even know what last name she would have. And there's probably like a time that we try, like, I think it was me and you, we were trying to find her, you know, but without a last name, it's really hard. Like, I tried. And
yeah, I remember once dad gave me a name and he told me, go look her up on Facebook. And I could not find anyone that looked like us.
Name and have Facebook. So that would explain it.
Exactly. No
so,
Facebook.
I mean, it was really hard to find her. And when dad got sick, I think that pushed him to try to find her because, you know, you get these news. And you definitely want to try to reach out to your family, you know, try to reach out to the people you haven't been able to see. And so dad definitely wanted to try to hear her and try to find her because he spent most of her life absent, you know. And like, if anybody knows our dad, he is a great father. And I know, like, not being there for her definitely probably hurt him a lot because he honestly, he's probably the best dad ever. He's always there for us. And I remember he was trying to find her. He was even praying to God about it. And who did he reach out to? I think he reached out to one of his cousins out in Atlanta. Or a few of his cousins that know Chris's mom. Yeah, Tio Chico and then his brothers too. And I guess, or the cousins. I don't know if they're all brothers. But they're like, yeah, we're going to try to find them. So our Theo was looking for her with his wife Sarah, you know, they're also great people. And they even went to like her old house. Obviously she wasn't living there anymore, and I'm so thankful for them because I can't believe how far they went to try to find Chris. Like, they even, I remember Sarah telling us the story, she went over to, is it the courthouse, right? And she even went to talk to the new owners of the home to try to get some information on Chris's mom, and it was like a dead end. They couldn't find anything. They like even went to the old apartments, everything, and they were kind of like, we don't have a last name, so that's really hard to find, you know, they only have a first name. And one day which cousin was it that saw her, Chris's mom, what's his name?
I don't remember. I think it's, yeah, I know it was one of his cousins, but I don't remember.
He was eating at a buffet, right?
Yeah, at a buffet. Yeah, he was. And so this is why I truly believe that. And I really believe when I say this, there's no, absolutely no coincidence with God. And I really do believe this because, like, just by this story, when I heard this story, this really impacted me.
They're eating at a buffet, and I guess they were about to leave, and all of a sudden, like, he sees Chris's mom. And then he's like, no, I got to go talk to her because, you know, my cousin, our dad, has been looking for her. So he went to go talk to her and he said, hey, you know, this and this happened to, you know, Abel, you know, and this is what's going on. And he really wants to reach out to, you know, his daughter. And then she's like, okay, you know, I'll tell her about it. And dad says the first time, like, he got that he was gonna actually talk to his daughter, he was so nervous. Because he was so nervous, like, he's like, I don't blame her if she hates me, you know, because there's, like, so much that's going on, you know, he was not in her life. And what the biggest crazy thing is when Chris told us that she had been looking for dad, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it was around the same time.
I think it was Ancestor. Like Ancestor.com.
I don't know what she did. Like, she was going to fill out the information, and she kind of had forgotten about it. And all of a sudden, you know, her mom comes and tells her, hey, your dad wants to talk to you.
And then this was going on in Atlanta, and when he found her mom. And Atlanta's a huge city, so this is why there's no coincidence with,
like, there's
God.
No way. Like, I don't even think I could find anybody, like, in Columbus half the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but in Atlanta, like, when we went over, it's crazy. And we say Atlanta, but they have, like, it's kind of like seeing Omaha and, like, Elkhorn and all those little cities around them.
Oh, yeah, that is
because,
true.
Because, like, I say that she lives in Atlanta, but she doesn't even live in Atlanta. It's, like, one of those cities around them. Just crazy how it happened to be, you know, that restaurant at that time, you know, and after all their dead ends. But yes, that's definitely how dad got a hold of Chris, and that's definitely how we were able to talk to her. And even we, God gave us the privilege to be able to go see her earlier this year too.
So
if you didn't know, Daniel's an uncle.
I am an uncle, and I've always wanted to be an uncle, and God answered my prayer, and I'm very happy. I do wish they were closer. Sometimes I want to move to Atlanta, but I don't think that's going to happen. But anyways, so, I remember when dad was going through his, you know, his chemo, his cancer, and I still tell you, this is one of my most favorite memories, because I feel like God used this to comfort us. But you remember when we were in the hotels and we went downtown with the scooters, and, like, I remember that time because I felt in peace during that time. And during that time, you know, I wasn't really seeking God or close to God. But I feel like God used that to, like, protect us,
you know? Like, he kind of used it, like, to give us that comfort that we needed, because definitely being over there, it was hard. Like, remember how I told you, like, I don't want to see Omaha for a long time, because we were going there so often. And not just seeing dad, you know, with what he was going through, which was really hard. He was not the only one going through those things. Like, I remember how you would say, oh my gosh, it's 6 o'clock. It's so sad that all the families are gathering up, because we all have to leave our family now. Because at 6 p.m., everybody had to go from the cancer building, and we all had to leave, and we all would gather, like, nobody wanted to leave, and we all could gather by the doors and the elevators, and it was so sad, just everybody having to go through the same situation, you know?
That was really hard, too, because I remember going in there, and you seeing all these other families in these different rooms, and my, you know, my thoughts, it was like, wow, they know exactly how we feel, and it's hard. But what other ways do you feel like God comfort you during that time?
I think a lot of it was just him showing his presence, and basically in all of our and everything going on. I remember just like talking to people, you know, we have our friends, but then we have our close friends who are always there for us, and, you know, just talking to them and then giving you, like, that push, you know, like, you know, everything's gonna, we don't really know what's gonna happen, but it'll be okay in God. And I think those things definitely showed comfort. Not just that, like I said, singing and all those things are really something that I enjoy to do. And I was just going through listening to music one day, and I think in this song that was playing, I felt like God had it specifically for me to comfort me at that time. And it's the, I think it's called, like, God of Miracles, you know, and we're all kind of, like, hoping for this miracle, you know. And God I feel like he's been making all these miracles in our lives. Maybe they're not crazy big, but they are still miracles, and definitely things that wouldn't have happened if God wasn't in our life, I feel.
And during that time, like, how was your, when you would go to church, and, you know, you had that burden with you and you took that heavy backpack with you, how would it feel when you would go to church?
I feel like when I felt that burden at the beginning, it was really hard. Like, I had really, like, closed off. I don't know. I feel like, I didn't really want to talk to anybody. I don't know. Like, I had kind of closed off my heart, like, and I just felt so heavy and burdened, and, like, nothing was, like, comforting me at the beginning, you know? And towards later, like, once I was able to finally, like, basically give God my burden, I felt like going to church and all that, again, was a comfort for me, you know? Just seeing everybody else. It was difficult going to church for the first few times without Dad, you know? Because Dad has always been there, you know? And it's our thing how he... you know, I don't, like, he's always sat in the same place, and it was hard, you know, like, I sing, like, in the choir at church, so it was hard to, like, look up, and my dad wasn't there, and I remember the last time that Dad, like, dirigió, you know, like, he sang the alabanza, like, it was so hard to see him, because we've seen our dad as a strong man. Like, I feel like before this happened, Dad never took a day off. Even on his days off, he was always doing something. He was very active. And I remember him singing, and he was, like, so tired, and I could see it in his face, you know. And it was really hard. Like, I was happy that he was singing, but, like, he was doing it as his last, like, his last time, and it was difficult to see all those changes in him. But I feel like when he came back, it was like, oh, you know, God, you did this, you know, my dad is back. And it definitely was a blessing to have him back in church.
You know, as Christians, do you feel like if you're going through a very hard time, do you think it's very important to find someone to talk to in your church? Or what do you think? Or do you think it's better to keep it inside of you?
I feel like it is. It's very good. Like, even, like, this isn't even just with Christianity. Like, in general, like, people, like, bottling things up is not healthy for you at all. And definitely, as Christians, like, we are told to be there for others, you know. We laugh with, like, there's that verse in the Bible says, like, laugh with those who laugh, you know, and cry for those who cry. Like, we're supposed to be there comforting each other. Like, even when Jesus left, he left us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, you know. He said, like, I'm not going to leave you orphans, you know, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to comfort you. And I think it's very important for us to try to reach out to these people that God has placed in our lives to comfort us. You know, sometimes it's really difficult to find the right words to tell somebody who needs comfort, but sometimes just being there and letting them, like say their burdens and get everything that's off, like, that's just enough, you know, that they know that someone's praying for them and someone's there, you know, during their hard time.
You know, what does, now that Dad, you know, obviously now that he's better and God healed him, how's your relationship with God now? How is, like, currently, how is your relationship with God? How is church for you now? Can you give us more details?
I feel like my relationship with God now is, like, very steady. I feel like God has been definitely working with me now that we've gone through this situation, like, try to get me out of my comfort zone. And he definitely has done that. And I feel like as soon as you get out of your comfort zone and start doing something scary, you know, you get comfortable in that too. And it's so easy to get comfortable again. And I feel like lately he's been kind of like, I don't even know how to say this in English, but kind of like talking to me and kind of trying to tell me, like, hey, you need to push out more, you know, you need to try to reach more, try to reach out more of this. And I can feel it. And I think that trying to do those scary things are definitely going to be beneficial to keep our faith strong in God.
Yeah, for sure. So what advice would you give people to, you know, believers that are currently struggling with their faith, you know?
I feel like we should tell them, like, they're not alone. That's definitely something we all go through. And no matter how it seems, how perfect people may seem, like, maybe they don't struggle with their faith at all. Everybody struggles with their faith. Like, this, being a Christian is so hard because you're fighting constantly against yourself, you know, to do the right thing. Like, your flesh is never going to want to do the right thing. We were made, like, in this body, it was made, it's it's sinful. You know, we're born with sin already. And it's really hard to try to follow what is right. Like, you're constantly fighting yourself. So I feel like if, like, that's something you're struggling with, like, definitely keep your head up. You know, that's definitely something that we all will go through more. Like, right now, maybe we're not going through it if you see us, but we may be going through it next week. You know, we never know what happens. And our biggest thing is to always keep our, like, our mind toward Christ. Like, don't be watching what anybody else is doing. You know, if someone may seem perfect and then they stumble, like, that doesn't say anything about you or anything. Like, we always have to trust in God, because we're all humans and we all fail, no matter, like, what it is. Like, it's not our place to obviously, like, judge others either, but definitely, like, keep on going and trusting that God can get you through these rough times, you know, because it's gonna happen. Like, I'm not gonna say it's not. It's gonna happen once, and we just have to be ready. I just always look at that verse that in the Bible that it says, like, you know, who are a believer, make sure you know that you're not, I don't really know how to say it in English, because, you know, I read all my stuff in Spanish.
Just say it in Spanish. You know, just go ahead.
Dice, pues, el que esté firme en su fe, que mire que no caiga, you know. So basically is like, make sure, you know you're firm in your faith, but anytime you could fall. So make sure you don't fall, you know. Make sure you're always trusting in God for that.
So I'm going to ask you this question. Why should we believe in God?
I feel like, obviously, the main reason people say is because, you know, God created us, or those type of answers. But honestly, for me, the reason, if I don't know, I guess I can't really tell you why you should believe in God, but I feel like once you experience those true moments with Christ, like, that's the reason you should believe in God, because God will manifest himself, like, in your life wonderfully, like so well that you don't even, like, doubt that he's real, you know. And me, because, you know, I'm kind of nerdy as being a nurse, I feel like just being in the healthcare field, you just, like, there's, I just can't believe so many people in the healthcare field who don't believe in God, because, like, the more you study science and the more you study everything, it's like more proof that God is real. Like, I'll just give you a quick example. Like, even just our bodies, you know, Christ made us and he made the whole world. Like, God made everything. And just seeing how the body is formed, you know, like, your lungs, basically, I don't know, they look like tree branches, and basically like seeing a tree. Like, I remember studying cells in the body. You have cells that look like tree trunks. So you're telling me that, like, not one creator created everything. Like, that's his touch. Like, we match everything around us. Like, one creator made us.
That's really amazing and awesome. I know there's a video out there of, I believe his name is Louis Giglio or something like that. But anyways, and here he explains how one of the molecules is the shape of a cross, which is, it's very crazy. You're going to have to see that video. But Heidi, thank you for sharing your testimony. How do you feel now that you share your testimony?
Well, I'm not as nervous anymore, obviously, you know. I feel refreshed.
I'm glad you do. But thank you for being on my show. We're really grateful that you took your time to share your testimony on this. And, you know, I hope you have a nice day.
Bye.
Matthew 16, 24-26 says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything really worth more than your soul? Now really, ask yourself if there's anything worth more than your soul. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but God gives us eternal life. God wants us to repent from our sins. He wants us to turn away from our evil deeds and turn to Him. Repentance is when we confess our sins out loud and ask God to forgive us. You must believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our salvation. We must also accept God's gift of salvation through faith. Only you know how your spiritual life is with God right now. If you have walked away or even grieved the Holy Spirit, Now would be the time to turn to Him. The first step is to ask God to forgive you and to truly believe and trust in God, that He will change your story. He will change your stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.